Good morning. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be gathered here together, and we come to this time in our worship when we open your word. So we pray for open hearts and minds, for ears to hear what you have for each one of us to learn today. And I pray especially, Lord, that my voice will not be a distraction. It is indeed your breath in my lungs. I thank you for the strength to be here today. Excuse me, to open your word. Be with me through this time. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We come together now to learn more of you and more from you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please forgive me. I am sick. Again, I pray that my voice will not be a distraction, that you will hear clearly. If there's something that you don't hear and want to ask me afterwards, please do so from a distance. I don't want to get anyone else sick. But thank you for your patience and your understanding. I was especially moved last week because several weeks ago the Lord had put on my heart that this would be a good time to take a look at some of the songs of ascent, the Psalms of ascent. Because we truly are on the road to Zion. We're moving towards a new future. We're moving towards a new place. You know, God is at work, and we're in the process of preparing and planning. He's given us the land. We'll be building a new sanctuary in his time and in his way. But we're together on that road to Zion. And I was looking at the Psalms of Ascent, which historically, Psalms 120 through 133, are the songs that the people of Israel sang on their way up to Jerusalem, up to the temple for special times of worship. And I thought, this is really wonderful. This is what we are doing even right now in our life together. And then last week, Pastor Michael gave this wonderful sermon on God's glorious visitation. And he mentioned that in Hebrew, the word visit means attending to or searching out, seeking to do good to. And I was following along as he was reading in his translation, and the New International Version for that word visit or visitation used the word watches over. And, of course, that's part of our Psalms of Ascent. And so God, of course, orchestrated all of this. I had no idea he was going to be preaching on this, and he hadn't, you know, God put this together. But I thought it was worth sharing just two of the scripture passages from last Sunday. Exodus 3:16, where God is speaking, and in the New King James Version, it's translated, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt." And the New International Version translates that, "Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt." And again from Job 10:12, where Job is speaking, "And you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit." And in the New International Version, "You gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your providence, you've watched over my spirit." So it just touched me the way that watching over is connected with this visitation and preservation that God is doing for us. So as we begin to look at the Psalms of Ascent, and I've just selected three, we aren't going to go through all 13 because we do have to leave, I think, sometime, you know, before tomorrow. But the three that touched me and that I would like to share about today, Psalm 121. And these are songs of ascent. These were spoken and prayed by the people of Israel going up to the temple. So we are going to speak them together today. That's why I've printed them all out so that we would all be in one translation. I won't ask you to stand up, but I am going to ask if you would just join me as we pray and we sing these Psalms of Ascent, beginning with Psalm 121. And imagine yourself going up to the house of the Lord for a special celebration and a special feast. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. As we look at the Psalm of Ascent, the first thing we recognize, I lift up my eyes to the hills. We're taking an action there. We are kind of getting out of the immediate surrounding and environment and struggle that we may be in. We're lifting up our eyes to the hills. And that got me to thinking about vision. We're all here blessed with the gift of vision. There are people who do not have literally physical vision. Their other senses help compensate. But we've been blessed with vision. But some things about vision. When you open your eyes, you can't help but see. You can't help it. The world's out there. It's on you. It's upon you. We have to close our eyes to go to sleep or wear something over our eyes to help us. Sometimes we have to do special things to not be distracted by what's going on. But just the physical act of vision is just a gift. All we need to do is open our eyes and we see. The next step, though, in vision is when something literally catches our eye, a bright color, but especially movement. Movement always catches our eye. That's the way God made us. When we see something moving, we pay attention to that, and we especially pay attention to it if it's coming at us, right? That's why 3D movies are such a big thrill. You're sitting there in the seat with your glasses on, right, and the thing comes right out of the screen at you, right? And you duck, you know. Or one of my other favorite things, our eyes, when some theme parks, they may still have them. They used to take platforms and put cameras out all the way around the platform and then fly them down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon, right? And you'd stand there in this, and you've got screens all around you, and it's like you're on the platform. You know, it's just amazing. You turn around, it's like you're looking 360 degrees. And then they do this thing where the plane will take a sharp curve to follow the river, and the platform swings like this, and all of the scenes go away, and you grab the handrail, right? You know? Because what you're seeing is your whole world goes sideways. You can't help it. Movement. That kind of movement makes you grab on for balance. But that's something, that's the way God's given us. So there's just seeing, which we do. There's looking and following. And then there's watching. Watching is a level of vision that involves intent. We are looking for something that has not appeared yet, but we know it's coming, or we think it's coming, or we hope it's coming. So we are intentionally watching for it. So two aspects of watching, intent, and the other aspect of watching is time. We're very aware when we're watching for something how long it's taking to arrive or happen or for the person to be there. We're just, because it's an intense activity, we're using energy when we're watching. It's not just happening to us around us. We're intent and we're aware of time going by. That's why for all those who don't have smartphones, this is a wrist watch. Okay. This is how you can tell what time it is if your smartphone's not working or out of power or whatever. Wrist watch. You know, we check time. We're aware of time passing when we're watching something, looking for something to happen. God is outside of time. We've been talking about that a lot lately. Just a reminder, though. God is before and now and forever. So he's outside of our sense of time, but he is watching over us. It's the amazing thing. He already knows what we're going to be going through this afternoon and tomorrow and until he brings us home. He knows that. But he's watching over us with that sense of he's paying attention. He has his eyes on us intentionally. And he is preserving us, visiting us, keeping us from harm, our shade, our warmth. And it says here, the Lord will watch over your coming and going. We're moving through the world. We're moving through our lives. You know, I commute 106 miles every day, and then moving gets tiresome, you know. And there are times I'm very aware of that. I'm tired of driving this far. But, you know, we're all doing it. We're all moving through time and space. It's reality for us. We're doing things in the course of our time. God is paying attention to that. He has us in his hands. And that, I hope, is a comfort for every one of us today, that we're not alone, we're not abandoned. He is aware of every single moment of each one of our lives. And in his love, he's present for us and preserving us both now and forevermore. Forevermore. Thank you, Lord. So we're grateful for this, that we can lift our eyes. That is where our help comes from. Don't want to leave here without saying, leave this psalm without reminding us. Our help comes from the Lord, the Creator, the Maker of all heaven and earth, and the one who gave us life. It is his breath in our lungs and will be until the day he brings us home. We thank you, Lord. You know, he's given us this amazing gift of life. And he is the source of our help. We'll not let our foot slip. As long as we are holding on to the Lord, you know, we are on the road to Zion. In ourselves, we can wander off of the road. In ourselves, we can just go off into the woods and get lost. As long as we hold on to our hand, we will not slip. Okay, he will not let us stumble. So thank you, Lord, Psalm 121, that you are our help and our Creator. And you watch over us, both now and forevermore. Our next psalm of ascent, Psalm 130. And again, I would ask, let's read this together, and let's just truly try to visualize. You're on the road. You're on the road to Jerusalem. It's an uphill climb. But you're with people. You're with your people, and you're going to celebrate and worship and give thanks. So, out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Amen. What do we cry for when we cry out to the Lord most often? What we see here is that we're crying out for mercy. We are crying out for mercy. We've shared it several times here, but a reminder, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. We cry for mercy. We cry for relief and forgiveness from the consequences of sin. Our sin and the sins that happen because we live in a fallen world. And there are things that happen against us, not of our own desire, not of our own will, but we are subject to the result of that. So we cry for mercy. We cry for relief and forgiveness. And here is, we ask God to hear our cry, and then we're reminded. We know this is true. He does not keep a record of sins. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. If he kept a record of sins, who could stand? No one. None of us could stand. So it's back to the point, he's watching over us, but he's, you know, and there are people who still believe this, and it's tragic, and we need to help them understand differently. There are people who believe God is waiting to catch them doing something wrong so he can punish them. That's their image of God, wherever that came from, a father who was abusive, whatever part of their life, however that happened, that's what they believe. That's their vision of God, and it's tragic. So they're just waiting for the next punishment. They're trying to hide. Literally, they're trying to hide from God. Who wouldn't? Okay. And if you've ever been in that place in your life, that's the natural reaction. I hope God doesn't see me because he will punish me. But here's this amazing statement. But with you, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. And if you look at that on the surface, that makes no sense. You know, why wouldn't I be happy about coming into the presence of someone who's going to forgive me? Okay. But I think, remember the definition of fear, awesome reverence. The fact that God can know, does know, but not can know, he does know every thought in our mind, every desire in our heart, every word, every action, he knows that. And he waits yet for us to come and confess so that he can forgive us. Not to punish us, but to forgive us and give us the gift of repentance and the gift of tears and the gift of a fresh start. Thank you, Lord. And it's because of that that we don't run and hide from him. We come and we confess. Remember that that word confession just means to agree with. When we confess to God, we aren't giving him a news report, that something he didn't know, okay, right? He knows. All we're doing is agreeing with him that whatever that was, thought, word, or deed, was against his will for our lives, separated us from him, and hurt us, and hurt whoever else was impacted by it. So he gives us his 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the process of forgiveness, confession and forgiveness. And for that, we give awesome reverence to our Father God in heaven for his forgiveness, that he does not keep that record of sin. He longs to forgive us. And this, I wait for the soul, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. Excuse me. And these next phrase, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. I think there's a reason that that's repeated there. Has anyone ever stood watch in a situation where you are responsible for what goes on, that you are in fact standing between people and things that may hurt them? And Glenn, yeah, amen. Watchmen wait for the morning because the darkness is a terrifying place to be. You can't see. You can't see. When I was in Vietnam, they had this brand new technology, you know, starlight scopes, where you could look through a scope and it would literally catch and magnify light from stars if it wasn't monsoon season and you could see them. And everything was a kind of a hazy green. It looked like early computers with green and black, you know, but you could see some movement. But of course, then everything's moving, you know, but it at least gave you some sense of I've got a shot. Okay. If someone's out there trying to approach me again, that whole thing about movement coming at you. You've got a shot, but you wait for the morning. You wait for one or two things, either to get relieved or for the sun to come up because you could see again. And I do need to share one other story with you. When I came home and I was back in college, but I needed money. So I was a security guard And of course, you can work overnight shifts, and I used to pull 3 overnight shifts on the weekends. I mean, Saturday morning and Monday morning classes were a trip, right? But I was posted in this abandoned factory. It's in the middle of winter. It's an abandoned factory that they're going to gut and turn into luxury condominiums. Okay, like 4-story building, huge, you know, complex. And of course, back then I had my little punch clock key. I used to have to walk around every 2 hours, make my tour around all 4 floors, took the key out of each lock station and put it in my clock and click it. So they had a tape and they would know that I was there at 2:45 in the morning and I was at, you know, number 16 at 2:50 in the morning. And you know, every 2 hours I had to do this. Well, they were trying to save money, the developers. So they decided that we really didn't need to have a phone there. So they cut the phone lines. We didn't need heat. I think we had electricity because they had lights on. You know, you could see walking around the building, but just, you know, single bulbs hanging at each end of the warehouse floor kind of thing. And a little space heater in the one little room where we stayed between our rounds. And the point of all of this is that one night I'm making my rounds and I hear up on the roof all kinds of noise and banging, and there are obviously people on the roof who are trying to do their own dismantling of the building, okay? I'm there with my flashlight and my clock, okay? So this is the best acting job I ever did. Right? I went up to the fourth floor, and I hear all the noise up on the roof, and they're trying to strip copper. And so in my best voice, Marine Corps voice, I say, "All right, that's enough," you know. And the guys come down with their crowbars, right? And three young guys, and they're just trying to get some money for whatever reason. And I said, "Look, I don't want any trouble. You know, I'm not going to call the police." They had no idea. "I just want you to leave the premises." I escorted them out to the gate, unlocked the gate, and sent them on their way. But that was grace and mercy. I mean, God could have had that situation go anyway. But that was one of my watchman stories where you just, I was waiting for the morning, you know, on that one. So I thank you, Lord. But it's a serious responsibility wherever you are. And I want to share with you, all of us have been watchmen. All of us have sat awake with an ill relative. All of us have sat with a desperate friend who's in emotional distress. All of us have sat with a coworker who has just found out that they've been let go. All of us have sat with family and friends and people, church family, in desperate times. We are all watchmen, okay? And we all stand there to protect, to watch over, to help as God gives us what he will and does give us to help, because he knows. He knows what's happening. We talk about waiting for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. I want to share with you, just as watching is intentional and has time connotations, waiting does not only mean sitting down. That's why we call people who serve in restaurants waiters. They aren't sitting down, you know, just kind of waiting. They are serving. To wait upon the Lord means to serve the Lord in the way that he directs. Yes, we are watching and waiting for him to reveal himself to us, to make clear to us whatever we need to understand and learn, the next thing to do, the next thing to say, the next job to take, whatever that is. We're watching and we're waiting, but we aren't sitting still, just waiting. We are serving, we're moving, we're living in him and letting him live in and through us. So we, you know, in God's word, we put our hope. Remember that definition of hope, confident expectation that God will fulfill his promises. We put our hope in his word, and we are constantly watching to see where he's working and to join him. Henry Blackaby, in Experiencing God, said that so powerfully. God is at work all the time, all around us. He's working right now, all around us. And he invites us to join him in his work. There's no better work that any of us can be about. It's kingdom work. It's eternal work. It's meaningful work. And it's his work. So we watch and we wait, we serve, and we look for those revelations and those opportunities. So we have confident expectation God will fulfill every promise he's made, and one of those promises is full redemption. He will redeem Israel. He has redeemed us from all of our sin through the work of Jesus on the cross. So we give him thanks and praise for that. And I love that phrase, "For with the Lord is unfailing love," because there's that time aspect again, unfailing. It's forever. It's forever. God's love never stops. Forever. It never fails. Unfailing love. So we thank you, Lord. And Psalm 133, which was written by David, another psalm of ascent, and let us pray and say this together. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. Amen. Living in unity. Nothing more important. Sometimes nothing more difficult. I think one thing that can help us is to remember that this is live in unity, not uniformity. Okay? We all don't show up here with the uniform of the day on. If we were in the Marines, we would. Okay? We'd all look alike. Okay? But unity, recognize the fact that each one of us, if you look at Psalm 139, each one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. We're all unique. We are all unique. No one, I think there are 7 billion people living on this planet right now, 7 billion human beings. No one is like you. No one. No one has had your life experiences. No one has the plan for your life, the same plan. God has a plan for everyone's life, and they're all different. Yours is unique to you. And he does this marvelous thing, though. He puts us together for a season, for his good purposes, in church families. He brings all different people from all different places and brings us together for his good purposes, so that we will learn more about him, we'll understand more of his plan for our life, and we'll be sharpened and encouraged and affirmed and comforted and prayed over by this church family. You know, so we thank God that we're here together. What a joy, right? We're on the road together. Not like Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, okay? We're on the road to Zion, not Singapore. We're on the road to Zion together because God has willed that for us, for his good purposes. So what a joy we can take such comfort in that, and purpose and meaning. We are one in Christ. And part of that being one in Christ means we watch over each other. We are called to watch over each other. God is watching over all of us, but will give us insight and discernment to help us understand what's happening in each other's lives and where we can be of help to each other. That we can be in prayer, in prayer for each other. And number two, help however God points the way. We are anointed just as Aaron was, oil running down the beard onto his robes. We are anointed, which means we are chosen for a purpose, and God has chosen us for his purposes. So we are anointed like Aaron. And again, that time factor, here it is, the gift on Mount Zion. The Lord bestows his blessing, life forevermore. Eternal life. We right now are living eternal life. We're living the worldly, earthly, fleshly side of it. Thank God we have the opportunity to open our hearts and minds, receive Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and live the spiritual side of it. We are in the kingdom now, right now. We are in the kingdom. And we all look forward to the day when we will see Jesus face to face and be in heaven. And that will happen in God's time. God has written each one of our days. And our role while we're here is just to be aware of that. We're back to watching intentionally for that. But we are living life evermore right now. And we thank God for that. And our final scripture passage, because all of these led me to Jesus, which is always a good place to be led to our Lord and Savior. And in Mark 13:3, it says that in this section, Jesus is speaking. He's explaining things to Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Just privately, they'd asked him a question about when the end times were coming. And in verses 31 through 37, and I'll just read this if you want to follow along or in your own translation, or this is the NIV. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Amen. This is, we all recognize the visual imagery here. You know, the earth is God's house. Jesus was here, left. He's coming back. He is coming back. It may be this afternoon. It may be while I'm standing here. I mean, that's the thing that gets so hard to believe, but it may be today. It may be tonight. And we're called to keep watch. But until he returns, he's put his servants, us, in charge. Wow. You know? Thank God for the Holy Spirit, because it's by the Holy Spirit that we can discern exactly what he wants us to be doing until he returns. Each with his assigned task, each of us has things to be doing in the power of the Holy Spirit for the kingdom. There's a great mission statement to a Fourth Day Renewal community, the Trace Deus community. They talk about their mission is to strengthen and to extend the body of Christ. And I think that, you know, everything that we do, every particular ministry that we do, every activity that we undertake, every word in season that we speak to someone, is all tied to that. For people who are already in the kingdom, we're trying to affirm and encourage, strengthen them, help them grow in their relationship with Jesus and with each other. So that's strengthening, and extending the body of Christ. There are lots of people who have not yet come into the kingdom. And we pray for them, and we pray for however God wants to use us in part of the process of bringing them into the kingdom, because we know the blessings that are here. So strengthening and extending the body of Christ, that's what we are about to be about, whatever that looks like in each one of our individual lives. We're gifted differently. You know, God knows. I can't see myself handing out a tract on a street corner, but that may happen. You know, here's the trick. Don't limit God. It can be a downfall. Don't say, God, that you mustn't, you know, like Moses did. I can't speak. You know, send somebody else, you know. All kinds of examples in the Bible, people said, no, send somebody else. If God makes it clear to you, then he will go ahead of you. And he will give you the power to do whatever he's asking you to do. You know, that's what God does. And he will open hearts in front of you. He goes with prevenient grace and opens the door, okay, for his word to strengthen and extend the body of Christ. Jesus talks about telling the one at the door to keep watch. So there is someone who's at the door. And this is just my understanding of what that means, and I'd encourage you to pray about that. But I think that the gift of prophecy, which means a spiritual gift of being able to speak openly about God's work, forth-telling God's work in the world, the eyes to see and the gift to share, there's God over there doing this in those people's lives or that person's life, the ability to see that and share it, and foretelling. Here's what's going to happen. You know, God has revealed that through his word and through his spirit to me. That gift of prophecy, I think that's the person who's kind of standing at the door to keep watch, all right, and very intently focused on God working in the world, okay? But Jesus says, I say to everyone, watch. So we all have the responsibility to keep our eyes and minds and hearts open to God at work and to be anticipating the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It tells us right in Scripture, when he comes back, you know, the first time he came as a baby, when he comes back in the clouds, everyone will know. Everyone in the world will know that this is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, come to claim his bride. It will be amazing. It will be amazing. One last word. Do not let him find you sleeping. God knows we need to sleep. I think there have been people through the decades and centuries who have said, oh, don't let me go to sleep. We need physical sleep. We need to close our eyes and shut things off and Dr. Jeff will remind us, we need sleep. Our bodies need to repair and restore. Our minds need to repair and restore. God knows that. He made us that way. So it's not about physical sleeping. But do not let him find you not watching. Don't let him find you not paying attention. Don't let him find you so wrapped up in yourself and your agenda and your issues and just me. Don't let him find you there. Let him find you with an eye out for him, both eyes out for him. Because he's moving. He's moving intentionally. And he is moving toward us. He is moving toward us to embrace us always in his love and his purposes. Thank you, Lord. So be watching. Be watching. And you will see amazing things. I think everyone here is here because you've already seen amazing things. You've seen God at work in your life and the lives of others. You've seen it happen. You've seen healing and restoration, reconciliation, peace. You've seen all of that. Keep looking because there's more. It'll keep coming until Christ returns for all of us. So keep watch. Be alert. Be on guard. And there is a caution. I'm not going to end on the caution, but right before I end. There are things out there that are not true. There are people who are out there who are not speaking truth in love. And so that's where we're told to be on guard, be alert. Jesus himself talked about that. He said, you may see people who are out in the desert saying, come follow me. Don't do it, They are not me. Okay, when I come, everyone will know it's me. There won't be a question, okay? So be on guard. He tells us this, so listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Be on guard and be alert. And in that comes the fullness of life that he came to give us. Every moment can become just an amazing joy because we are looking and seeing him at work. We're watching him love us. It doesn't get better. So, thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful for how much you love us, that you are constantly moving and moving toward us, that you give us the ability to see you and to see you at work, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. Encourage us to help each other on the road. We are on the road together, and there are days and weeks and sometimes months when the travel is not easy. We focus on obstacles instead of lifting our eyes up to the hills. We need your help to lift our heads, lift our eyes, see you, and know that you have the perfect plan in place that you're working out right now and forevermore. So we take comfort, we take joy, we know the peace that passes understanding because you are watching over us this very moment. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.